Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Abundantly above all that we can think or imagine, we bless your name, oh God. Hallelujah. 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 Bless your name, oh God. Thank you. Bless your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Magnify you, oh God. Bless your name. Thank you for your presence in this place. Gracing us with your touch. Oh God, if you don't speak, we'll be quiet. If you don't move, we'll sit down. Have your way, oh God. Have your way, oh Lord. Bless your name. Now, have you ever been in a dry season? You were a well-oiled machine. You had it popping. Everything was going your way. You were winning. It seemed like every move you made was the right move. Every chip you cashed in was the right chip. You felt like Kanye. Everything I throw up, blow up. Then, like Kanye, things started to go wrong. I know you Christian folks don't know who Kanye is. And you feel like you're losing your mind. Feels like everything is a struggle and you feel all alone. During such a season in my life, many years ago, when I was really, really strung out, when I really felt hopeless and in despair, I wrote a poem. I can remember a couple verses of it. But I titled it, When Wells Run Dry. And it goes, in this desert valley, it seems that nothing's going right. And the sunshine of my life is beating down and takes my sight. In this desert valley, it has caused me so much pain. Let me feel the comfort and the sweetness of your rain. When wells run dry, shower down the freshness of your love. Now, the desert is a cruel place. Blistering heat, the lack of vegetation, scorched ground, beating sunshine. And as one experiences those desert seasons, I believe that there are stages that one goes through. First, you might feel that immediately that this is happening to me, but I guess what? Trouble don't last always. You might have a little bit of hopefulness at the beginning of your desert experience. And after the heat continues to beat for a little while, and there's no refreshment for your tongue or for your life, you might go through a stage or a period of disappointment. Because the thing that you hoped for, the thing that you thought would pass soon, continues to burden you and to beat you down. That disappointment then turns into anger. We get ticked off. We get upset. We're mad. Sometimes we're mad and we don't know why we're mad. Or at least let me say, sometimes I'm mad and I don't know why I'm mad. Since I can't get an amen. Then we go through this stage called self-pity, where we think that everybody has it better than us, so that somehow we're different than everybody else, and that we just need everybody to help us. We just look for some folks to come in and cry with us and just to be with us, and self-pity talk comes into negative self-talk. I'll never get it right. I'm just stuck here, which in essence is a feeling of hopelessness. One good thing about the desert is you might go through anger and disappointment and somewhat self-pity, but at the end of it, I think the last stage we go through is humility. The desert will humble you. You'll be picking up dirt thinking it's water. It's during those times when our ground seems to bear no fruit. Our lives seem to be barren, that my life is useless, that it serves no purpose, that I have no worth. And it's during those times we might just stop and begin to sing, how I wish it would rain. How I wish it would rain. Somebody know what I'm talking about. It says, sunshine, blue sky, please go away. Our hearts just cry out. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven and let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven and let it rain. When you're in a drought, you look for it. Just let some drops fall on me. It doesn't have to be a torrential storm, but just let some drops fall on me. Now, the last thing one needs in this season of drought is for a cloud to move, a cloud to come by that floats its butt slowly by. Slowly floating by, but yet it produces no rain. Woo! We city folks, but the farming folks, some down home folks know what I'm talking about. We don't need a cloud that does not yield results, but what we need is a fertile cloud. Look at your neighbor and say, I need a fertile cloud. I need a fertile cloud. I'm looking for a fertile cloud. Lord, water this parched ground. Spring up new life. A fertile cloud is a cloud that is full of water, a cloud that is full of life. And you know, if we look through scripture, we see that God is in the cloud. I need a fertile cloud. I can't fake the funk today. I can't hold back. I can't act dignified and like I have it all together today. I need a fertile cloud. I need God to reign in my life. I'm convinced that there are blessings that are sitting up for me in the heavens, that God is holding blessings for me, blessings that haven't been released because I am not prepared to receive them yet. Amen. God wants to reign in our lives, but first we need to be prepared for the rain. We've got to prepare for the rain. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. This is the worst rainy season that I've ever experienced. Typically, I would call myself a pluviophile. Anybody know how to spell it? It's P-L-U-V-I-O, P-H-I-L-E. It means a lover of rain, someone who finds joy and peace, peace of mind on rainy days. Anybody a pluviophile? Now, I was raised in sunny Southern California. And in over 25 years, I have not had a temptation to move back to California until recently. I found myself so frustrated with rain over the last year up to the present that it's ridiculous. My self-talk around rain has been negative. It seems like every time I want to do something outdoors, it's raining. Seems like every Thursday evening, there's 40 mile per hour winds that blow through my neighborhood and that come with rain, and Friday's trash day. Every Thursday evening, wake up on Friday to the neighbor's recycling blown around and scattered and somehow ending up right in front of my house. Wet, nasty paper, maggot-infested cartons, junk, and all kind of mess. Every Friday? Really? Babe, have you noticed? Every Thursday night and Friday, the wind is blowing. You know, aside from the garbage, it seems like in this rainy season, there's a tendency for me, to get sick. If there's a cold around, I'm gonna catch it. If there's a flu around, I'm gonna catch that. It seems like my joints are stiff, my bones are always sore. I'm dealing with so many aches and pains, and end up maybe it's because of the lack of vitamin D. But I'm looking for every reason to be uptight. It's been hard. But I'm talking about preparing for the rain. Perhaps I could be a little better prepared. Probably could have turned my neighbor's recycle bin in the direction of the wind flow so that it doesn't tip over and everything blow out just like I do mine. Maybe then we wouldn't be picking up his stuff on Friday. I think a big thing is the attitude. Just seeming like if I just know what to expect and then prepare my mind and change my thinking about what's happening, and that I might even consider walking in the rain rather than just getting wet. You know what the hell that is. Walking in the rain with the one I love. Feel so fine. Okay. Been a good idea to clean out my heating ducts and my ventilation in my house to get that nice and clean so that I could be breathing fresh air instead of breathing recirculated madness all the time. I'm praying for the Lord to make me fruitful while all the time, at the same time, I'm complaining constantly when he does bring rain. Now, I'm a regular viewer of the show Survivor. And anybody watch Survivor? Okay, two or three of us. It's a good show. In the last episode there, during a challenge, that the teams were picked, and then one person had to sit out of the competition. I think her name is LaKayla. Now, as soon as the teams were prepared for the challenge, LaKayla is shown sitting on a raft, a lonely raft, by herself, and she's ranting. She says, "You all were so concerned about picking your favorites that you didn't think about having someone strong on your team for the challenge." That someone strong being her, right? And she kept going on and on. "You guys are fake." And so on and so on. And then the whole time she's talking, the camera is focused on a scroll that's like behind her foot, attached to the kind of the leg of the bench. And she's just going on. But when you see that scroll, when there's a camera, even from a distance, you can read it clearly. The scroll has written on it, "Advantage." Okay, some of you might not understand Survivor, but you're stuck out on some lonely island, usually some desert place, where you stay there, is it 21 days, 31 days or so? And you get beat down. Now, on the island, there are different things hidden, like immunity idols, where if you find the immunity idol, you won't be voted off. Because typically at the end of each show, every week, someone's voted off the island. So to get an immunity or one of these advantages is very important. But Michaela's just bumping her gum. She's just going at it. All the while, she doesn't know that she's sitting there all alone with an advantage at her feet. Just talking about complaining. When you're looking for a blessing, and then the blessing comes through the rain, and you will complain, or at least me, complaining the whole time. So anyway, Michaela keeps ranting, and after the challenge, one of the team boats, it rolls up to her lonely little raft, and the lady reaches up, and she gives Michaela a hand onto the boat. And while she's reaching, she looks and she sees the scroll that says "Advantage." And then she went over there and grabbed it and acting like she was messing with her shoe while she put the advantage in her sock. Jumps back on the boat and sails away with the advantage. The point is that often when rain comes, when blessings come, when God comes, we're not ready. And although the sunshine in our lives has played out, anybody got played out by the sunshine? Anybody ever club it to death? Anybody go through that season of your life where you was hitting the club 3 and 4 times a week and that just became old for you? Not yet, Mama? Oh, okay. She said, yeah. Where things just play out. The sun and the things that come with it are played out, but yet we're moving into a new season when God wants to bring rain, but yet we want to do all the things, that ineffective things that were associated with the sunshine, even though it still played out. Still want to wear them halter tops and Daisy Dukes. It's played out, sister. It's pouring down outside, bro, and you still want to wear shorts and muscle shirts. It's gone. It's over. It's played out. But you still want to club, you know, 3 or 4 times a week and look for something out of nothing. So it's played out. Player you're playing has played out. Perpetrator you're perping has played out. Procrastinator, your laziness has played out. Pleasure lover, you're sickening. It's played out. It's time for a new season, and you can't get this with that. Prepare for rain. I think if you change your attitude, you will change your altitude. And when it rains, most birds, they head for shelter. But the eagle is the only bird that, in order to avoid rain, starts flying above the clouds. Some of you got to set your things on things above. Set your affections on those things and not on the thing. Now, there's a movie called Facing the Giants. And in that movie, there's a short conversation that's relating to rain. There's Mr. Bridges that comes in to talk to Coach Taylor. And he tells him this parable. He says there were two farmers who desperately needed rain. And both of them prayed for rain. But only one of them went out to prepare his fields to receive it. He looks at the coach and he says, "Which one do you think trusted God to send the rain?" And the coach told him, answered him and said, "The one who prepares his field for it." And then he asked him this question, "Which one are you?" God will send rain when he's ready. I know you're saying, come on now, this is Seattle. But you need to prepare your field to receive it. Which one are you? Have you dug a well? That's what things farmers do, or people that are preparing for the rain. Have you built an irrigation system? Have you planted any seeds? Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11. How do you stop this? Huh? Okay, it's blowing the pages. Thank you. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Perhaps the words of one who said he tried everything under the sun. Perhaps he says something that offers some wisdom as it relates to preparation. 11 and 1, are you there? He says, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again." Anybody know what that means? A lot of times we just read that and we're thinking, cast your bread upon, where am I cast my bread on the water? After I cast my bread on the water, and then after many days, it come back. I'm not eating it. Solomon was a very wealthy man, and he was involved in international trade. And so when he says cast your bread, it could be also cast your seeds or your grain upon the waters. In other words, don't just do business where you're at, but have a global mindset and cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again. In other words, it'll come to you. Profit will come to you. And a good way of looking at this especially as it relates to us preparing for the blessings and the things that God has for us, the things that are stored up in heaven for me that I've yet to receive because of my lack of preparation. He's saying, "Do cast your bread upon, not upon water, but upon waters," plural. In other words, don't put your bread, don't put it all, don't put your chips, don't put your, what do they call them things, stacks? All in one ship. Send here, send there. In other words, and be involved also in partnerships with others. Verse 2 is very similar. He says, give portions to seven, yes, to eight, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. Give portions to seven, to eight. In other words, diversify your investments. Pastor Harold was hitting on this. And the reason you do this is because you don't know what disaster may come upon the land. It may be all well right now, but you don't know what situation, what emergency you might find yourself in. And so don't trust everything being in your stock, in your 401k. How many lost money in a 401k? Don't put everything into it, just into your house. Perhaps you might want to think about getting a rental home, something that yields some income for you. Don't put all your money into that Rolls Royce or into that stinking Lincoln or into that Cadillac, which happens to be the best made car. You're going to have to throw some money in different places. Put some aside. Maybe invest. And instead of sitting all your bread, casting all your bread on the waters, you might be able to take a little bit of that grain and a little bit of that wheat and make bread at home and begin to sell bread and to begin to resource, use the resources that you have within yourselves to generate wealth. Diversify. And then it's important, I think, another thing that's wrapped in here is that we should also be giving. When we're in relationships with people, we should be pouring into people. Because the scripture says that even the wealth of the wicked is stored up for who? For the righteous. And it says something about men pouring into your bosom. And so it's good to give, especially as people of God. Verse 3, if the clouds are full with water, if the clouds are pregnant, if the clouds are fertile, they pour rain upon the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there it will lie. In other words, there's some things that are in life that are unpredictable. You don't know what's going to happen at what time and in what season. There are times when we have plenty of rain, and there are times when we experience plenty of drought. And so we don't know what to expect, but we do know that if the clouds are full of water, they pour rain upon the earth. Verse 4 says, whoever watches the wind will not plant. In other words, these people who are watching the wind, it says, whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. People who are looking for the perfect time to do this, and that it's the right season. So I think I'll plant right now. I'm looking for the wind because if the wind's blowing, I can't plant because it's going to blow my seeds here and there. And then they look at the clouds. When it comes time to reaping season, so it's not pouring down rain, which can damage in excess a harvest. Message that Solomon is getting at is that you just need to plant. You just need to prepare. Don't wait for things to get right. Things may never get right for you. It may never seem like the right season or the right time to take advantage of an opportunity, to move in a positive direction, to do something that is worthwhile, to be active in the kingdom of God, to participate in something that's beyond you and above you, that has an impact on community and on society and on humanity. Do it now. I have often thought that maybe one day I'm going to take all these things that God has placed in me, all these gifts and all these talents, and that one day I'm going to start my own business. I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to be so successful, and it's going to blow up, and it's going to be great. And God said, do it now. Be everything that I've made you to be in the place that I have you at right now. Use every gift and every skill and every ability to in the place where I have placed you. Grow where you have been planted. Now, if you don't plant, you won't reap. If you don't plant, you don't reap. Most preachers, when they get on this topic, they start talking about money. I don't want to do that, but I'm going to do it because I want you to be blessed. And you probably heard this. If you've been coming to hear Pastor Harold, how many blessings can you get in this posture? Nothing. If your hand is always closed, don't expect anything. If you walk around with a closed hand, and you waiting for God, send the rain, Jesus. I know my blessing's going to come. I'm believing God for a miracle. All you're going to have is what you got. And the reason you always have nothing is because you're postured to give nothing. Because when you posture yourself to give, you also posture yourself to receive. So if you don't plant seed, you will reap a harvest. It just doesn't work that way. Somehow we got into prosperity in a big and detrimental way, because the scripture does tell us how to be blessed and how to be successful and fruitful in life. But guess what? It always includes that four-letter word, work. Verse 5, as you do not know the path of the wind, or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Sow your seed in the morning, and in the evening let not your hands be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. Now, there were these people, the children of Israel. I'm going to wrap this. This is my first closing. And I'm going to do it without a hum. No, no. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Something about 11 today. Look at everybody that rolled dice. They get 7-11. Okay, you can tell I've been saved all my life. The children of Israel were preparing to enter into the territory that God had promised for them. He instructs them in Deuteronomy 11 through the prophet Moses. In the first verse, he says, love the Lord God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, and his commands always. Remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God. his majesty, his mighty hand, his outstretched arms, the signs he performed and the things he did in the heart of Egypt, both to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his whole country, what he did to the Egyptian army, to his horses and chariots, how he overwhelmed them with the waters of the Red Sea as they were pursuing you, and how the Lord brought lasting ruin on them. It was not your children who saw what he did for you in the desert until you arrived at this place, and what he did to Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab, the Reubenite, when the earth opened and its mouth, right in the middle of all Israel, swallowed them up with their households, their tents, and every little thing that belonged to them. But it was your own eyes that saw all these great things the Lord has done. Observe, therefore, all the commands I am giving you today so that you may have the strength to go in and out and take over the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, and so that you may live long in the land that the Lord swore to your forefathers to give them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. The land you are entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt. We often get confused, and we think the blessings that God has in store for us are the same blessings that we take pride in Egypt. God's blessings are powerful beyond money, beyond possessions, beyond things, beyond houses and cars and lands. Prosperity, above all else, is peace of mind and joy in your spirit and contentment. The land you're entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt, from which you have come, where you planted your seed and irrigated it by foot as in a vegetable garden. But the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks water from heaven. It is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it, from the beginning of the year to its end. So if you faithfully obey the commandments I am giving you today, it's the commandments, to love the Lord your God. You don't have to jump hoops. You don't have to wear your skirt to your ankles and take off all the makeup, and You don't have to wear a suit and tie. You don't have to do. The commandment is to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Really, it's putting God first. Then I will send rain on all your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, and summer and winter if you're in Seattle. Oh, I'm sorry. I ain't supposed to add to it, right? So that you may gather in your grain, new wine and oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Amen. Let me close with Psalm 84. How are we doing on time? And I think I preached before and the whole tape ran out. It was like, not recently. You there? Psalm 84. Thank you. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Isn't that that commandment, love God? Man, this describes a passionate love. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Oh, Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. And as they pass through the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping, the valley of pain, they make it a place of springs. There's no rainbow without rain. And the autumn rains cover it with pools, overflow. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. It's me, O Lord. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I need you, O God. Look upon our shield. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. He said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows both favor and honor, and no good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the man that trusts in you. Blessed, well-watered, touched, influenced by a fertile cloud. I don't know how life can be so dry when it's raining every day. How life can be so empty when it's raining every day. Perhaps I haven't prepared for rain. And the rain comes down and floods my fields. Because that which God has intended to be a blessing, I've squandered in my lack of preparation. Let's realize, people of God, that the Lord said there would be a well within each of us that's springing up to eternal life. Often we know we have that well, which is the Holy Spirit in us, and we think that it's there just for us. But really, that when it says springing up to eternal life, I believe that it's speaking that there's life flowing through each of us, not just for us, but for others. For other people, so that people would come in contact with you And because you are close with God, because you have prepared in what might be a tough season in their lives or even in your life, but as you begin to flow with living water, you can speak a word into someone's life that would bring them hope, that would bring them healing, that would bring them encouragement, so that you don't have to invite them to church to hear the pastor and have the pastor pray for them, but so that you would be alive with the Spirit, so that you will have the words of life, so that your hands can impart a blessing upon people who are hurting and in need of water. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. The woman in Samaria, she said, give me this water so that I may not thirst again. We need to be postured to be a blessing and postured to give life to others, so that when people walk upon you, when they walk towards you, they don't see a dark cloud, but they see a fertile cloud, a life-giving cloud that brings refreshment, that brings joy, that brings peace, that brings life. Amen. You want to be that cloud? Amen. I know we need it. I need someone to be a fertile cloud in my life. And I want to be a fertile cloud in yours. Father, we thank you for your word, oh God. Thank you for your promise to your people. Thank you for your promise to us, oh God. Promise to bring rain and to bring blessing and to bring fruitfulness into our lives. I pray for your help, oh God. I'm still frustrated at times. I'm still going through. And I need your rain, oh God. I need your refreshing. I need your refreshing that brings peace. God, I need you to shower. Not things down on me, because when they hit me, they'd hurt. But I need you to shower your blessings, shower your peace and your comfort, oh God. Shower your freshness upon me, oh God, so that my life would be pure, so my life will be clean. It would be refreshed, God, not bogged down by the irritation and the agitation of things that are foreign to you. Remove those things, anything that's not like you, God, in my life, in our lives, so that we might be vessels that's fit for your use. Just vessels that you can flow through, God, so that you can do what you want to do with us, oh Lord, so that you can have your way with us. Lift that weight. Lift that burden, oh God, of trying to make it on our own and trying to come up on our own. Give us that faith to be able to trust you, to be able to let it all go and to let you do your thing in our lives. Open our eyes, God, to opportunity so that we might seize the day, that we might seize these opportunities that are before us. God, take the little that we have and show us where to put it, so that it can be multiplied. Show us who we need to bless, oh God. Who we need to lift up. Let us see ourselves, God, as more than conquerors, so that not that we can sit and bump our chest or pop our collar, but that we be more than conquerors so that we can lift the weak. Help the downtrodden. be a blessing to those who are in need. We need your overflow. We need an overflow, oh God, so that we stand as a beacon light to the world, not a pitiful people, but a powerful people, not easily moved by every wind, every idea, every beat, that we be constant. Help us to flow, oh God. Help us to flow in cadence with your heartbeat. Give us the rhythm of heaven. Thank you. Bless your name, oh God. Hallelujah. Bless your name, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, oh God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.